We got some psychedelic music in the house.
Woo!
It's time for the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
All right.
Woo!
That is some crazy music you got playing.
Yeah. Far out, man.
Yeah, totally.
That's a great song. Found it in Mad Men this week. Yeah, it was on Mad Men this week. That's Found Love by the Flyby Nights.
The Flyby Nights.
Yeah, that's a name for you.
Yeah, that's actually a very catchy a tune they're playing, I have to admit.
It's used when Don Draper smokes a little bit of hashish.
Uh-oh.
And goes on a little bit of a drug trip.
Ah. Seems like an appropriate, an appropriate song.
That is definitely an appropriate song for Mad Men. But there you go. What a way to start off the show.
Yes. What a way to start off the show.
You never know what's going to come at you here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right, because we are the epitome of craziness.
That's right. Well, let's start off. You don't know the Crispy Noodle Podcast? Well, sit down, get to know the Crispy Noodle Podcast. I am Rich Liebig.
And I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we are the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. pretty much our job is to give you the most interesting aspects of sports, entertainment, and odd news, and whatever else we find.
And whatever else we want to talk about.
Yep. So, Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, it's been a slow week, but that's all right because we got...
I mean, we're into the first couple weeks of summer.
Yeah.
I mean, it is kind of, I don't want to say slow, but more... relaxed, more peaceful.
Right.
School's about to let out for a lot of kids. The playoffs in basketball and hockey are going to be coming to an end soon.
Yeah, they're baseball's just about in ramping the middle. Up. Yeah,
baseball's in the middle of their season, and no Philly teams at all. Woo! Fantastic. Except for the Phillies, but they're 500. But anyway, that's
oh well. But how are you doing?
I'm doing good. You know,
we're just
enjoying the summer and. That's pretty much all you can do, you know? Why not?
Yeah. Enjoying the nice weather, finally. It's not freezing. All right.
Okay. That's something I've said to use as a transition.
I think that's the best transition ever.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that.
That fucking sucks.
See, I know your true opinions on
yes,
it.
Yes, yes. That's my real opinion on the matter. But anyway... let's not delay. Let's dive right on into the sports sampler.
Woo! All right.
And I know last week we talked a little bit about how we always talk about football in the sports sampler.
What is it with football? Everywhere you go, football. Go there, football. Football, football, football. Look what the f***. Sunday football, Monday night football, Thursday football, football on Thanksgiving, football on Christmas. And out of all sports, it's the one everybody goes the most f***ing over. Makes them act like f***ing maniacs.
Thank you, Angry Video Game Nerd, for that.
We should use that as our sports transition.
Well, I'll use it every time we mention football.
Okay. You're going to be using it a lot then.
Yeah, because that's what we do.
Because we're talking about football again today.
Woo!
All right.
It's motherfucking goddamn sons of bitchin' fuck football!
I love how you made a clip that you had to bleep out like 80% of it. I think the only word we heard was like bitch or something like
There's
that.
There's a goddamn, a son of a bitch, and a football.
It's motherfucking goddamn sons of bitchin' fuck football.
I wonder what all those bleeps were, Rich.
Yeah, but you can't tell.
We can't.
It's amazing censorship.
That is amazing censorship. It must have been a pain in the ass to edit that.
A little bit, but it was worth it.
It was worth it so we could talk about football. We have a couple of interesting topics to talk about. Well, first, something a little sad. Deacon Jones, Hall of Fame football player, passed away recently at the age of 74.
Yeah.
That's sad news, but also an opportunity to reflect back on the incredible athlete that he was.
Yeah, he was a very star defensive player.
He's legendary.
Yeah. He's actually the one that, if I believe I'm correct on this, he's the one that coined the use sack. Before his time, nobody had ever referred to as tackling the quarterback before he threw as a sack.
Yeah,
until he came up with the word.
I think you're right in that regard.
He literally invented sacks.
And if he didn't literally invent them, he made them start keeping track of them because that was his job, was to go after the quarterback. He was part of the Rams' fearsome foursome unit from 1961 to 1971. He played 14 years in the NFL altogether. And get this little interesting tidbit. He only missed 5 games in 14 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so he was a very durable, reliable player. Now, the unofficial count is that he had 173.5 sacks, but they weren't counting them at the time.
Right, because he invented sacks.
Right, so it could be much more than that. It could be less, but I tend to think it's a much higher number than that. So
we'll go with higher.
We'll go with higher.
We'll give him the benefit of the doubt. We'll give him the extra half sack, 174 sacks.
It's Deacon Jones.
Yeah.
So
it was sad to hear him of his passing.
Yes, but an incredible player, Hall of Famer, one of the legends of the game, really. When you think about defensive players, Deacon Jones is up there.
Yep. I have an idea.
Yeah.
I think for whenever we have moments like this for really awesome players, I think we should give out a best shout-out.
Okay.
And we'll give it like this. He was the best of the best of the best.
With honors.
Second Lieutenant Jake Jensen, West Point, graduate with honors. We're here because you're looking for the best of the best of the best, sir.
Your boy Captain America over here. The best of the best of the best, sir. Yeah, with honors. Yeah, he's just really excited, and he has no clue why we're here.
So there you go, our best shout-out, because Deacon Jones, definitely the best of the best of the best. With honors.
And I just did a little bit of research, and it was Deacon Jones that coined the term sack.
Ah, I thought so, yes.
So, legendary in that regard, too. He's making up words.
I was correct. But anyway, yeah, sad to hear of his passing.
He will always be remembered, though.
Yeah.
Deacon Jones.
Do we have another question in the football realm?
We do. We do have another topic.
What is it with football? Everywhere you go, football! Go there, football! Football, football, football. Like, what the f***? Sunday football, Monday night football, Thursday football, football on Thanksgiving, football on Christmas. And out of all sports, it's the one everybody goes the most f***ing ape-f***ed over. Makes them act like f***ing maniacs.
Yeah, we're still staying on football.
Well, oddly enough, this topic is making people a little uneasy. And the angry video game nerd can complain about football in more than one continent now.
Uh-oh.
Because there's rumors that Roger Goodell wants to have more games in London?
Yeah.
What's the story about this?
The story is apparently Roger Goodell would like to see as many as 4 games.
That's a lot of games to play.
Played in London. And eventually one day, whether or not it comes under his commissionership, I guess, would that be the correct word?
Is that a title? I guess so. Commissionership?
During his time as commissioner.
We're making it a word.
Yeah, well, you know what? Yeah, we're making up words. Woo!
Crispy Noodle Podcast, your daily dose of vocabulary.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm German. I'm allowed to make up words.
Wait, what does that have to do with making up words?
I actually read it. All right, this is off track.
Off track.
In the German language, apparently there's like a board in Germany that oversees whether or not to make up a word or whether or not to disavow a word.
That's pretty cool. How do you get a job like that?
Yeah.
You're just making up words.
Yeah. And like there was news that like one of the longest German words on record has officially been knocked off as a word.
Why?
Because it was like a word that was never used at all.
Like that word last week?
Yeah.
2 weeks ago?
Like that devil's word, the fear whatever. Of 666. Yeah, I'm never going to say that again.
Go look it up if you're curious.
There was a German word. There was a German word that meant the wife of a fisherman or a wife of a seagoer.
Okay.
Yeah, go figure.
Can't you just say like the fisherman's wife?
Yeah, but apparently in German, in Germany, they actually had a specific word that meant that.
That's
and
weird.
And this board on German language officially said it's not a word anymore.
No more.
Yeah.
It's the fisherman's wife who wears a pink dress under the full moon in the third week of the fifth month. And is it something ridiculous like
Whoa.
That?
Mike, what are you talking
about? I don't know.
Mike knows his seagoing ladies, apparently.
Sure. I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then.
Is that your Hot Pocket?
Why do I open my mouth?
Hello, ladies.
Miguel. No. It's got to be a German accent. Yeah, wait.
Miguel Costanzo here, and I'm ready to go multilingual on you, if you know what I'm talking about, in more ways than one. I'm.
Okay, what's your German accent?
Well, Miguel, Miguel can't do it yet.
Ah, I trapped you.
No, Miguel has to get the ladies all warmed up with his smooth accent, right? That's what Miguel Costanzo does.
I'm trying to think if I can do a German accent.
Miguel Costanzo is a cunning linguist, if you know what he's talking about.
I love the women. Is that German? I don't know. This is bad. Luft balloons.
So is Miguel Costanzo?
I don't know.
No?
I have no idea.
Even Sneeslegen?
Wow.
I don't know any German.
Should we skip to the refrain?
Maybe.
99 says Luftballons. Ready?
There you go.
Yeah.
So there you go. Miguel Costanzo apparently knows.
I'm going international now. Watch out.
Yeah. Knows a little bit of German.
Guten Tag. Was ist das?
There you go.
So
how did we get on this again?
We were talking about sports.
Oh, all right. So, yeah, I didn't know.
London. We were supposed to be in London.
Welcome to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
So, wait, we went from London to the Spanish Miguel Costanzo to Germany. There was a connector somewhere in between there.
Yeah, I was trying to determine
whether
or not.
Oh, the German word.
Yeah.
Why were we talking about the German word?
Is commissionership a word?
Oh.
So that's how we got started.
That is a fantastic leap in logic.
Yes, it is.
You know, philosophers and psychologists could dissect these podcasts and understand the very underlying mysteries of human communication and how it works.
Yeah, because we obviously can't communicate. But anyway, all right, so let's go back. Let's go back all
football,
the way to the sports.
Football in London.
Yes.
The commissioner said 4 games.
He wants 4 games in London, and he said that one day he would like to see a football franchise in London.
Hmm.
So, I mean, what do you think of that?
The British Nannies.
The what?
The British Nannies. I think that was a Family Guy thing.
That's the worst team name ever.
I think it was a Family Guy thing.
Oh, I don't know.
Maybe I just made it up. I don't know. An entire franchise in London, it gives a whole... that was Family Guy.
Yeah. All
right, go ahead. It almost sounded like one of our animal noises. Maybe not quite, but... So a franchise in London, it puts a whole new spin on the term road game.
Yeah, more than on the road. You're on a plane.
You're jumping oceans.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? See, this is why I don't think it'll work out. Because if you take a team from the West Coast and you got to take them all the way to London, I mean...
Yeah, it's bad enough when they have to go
that's
from...
That's like a whole week.
It's bad enough when you have like a West team who gets like a Monday night game and then they have like a Thursday night game.
Right.
Yeah, on the East Coast.
And the commentators always bring up about the time differences and what the stats are about East Coast teams playing on the West Coast and vice versa. So
now we're adding a whole different coast altogether.
Now, playing on the West Coast, if you're an East Coast team, it'd be like, huh, that's nothing. Try going across the ocean.
Yeah. They're going to have, they would have to, specifically in the scheduling, they would have to put in some sort of measure that would prevent a West Coast team from having to go all the way to London in a strained amount of time.
Okay, here's an idea. What if we extend the season to 18 games and
We know Goodell wanted that already.
And we take out two preseason games and add in an extra week in between the preseason and the regular season and an extra bye week during the season.
That could work out.
Hey, I just became NFL commissioner.
Yay!
Yeah!
Woo!
Yeah! It's official. You heard it here first. I have become the new commissioner of the NFL.
Woo!
My first act of business is to award the Lombardi Trophy to the Eagles.
Woo!
Yeah!
Yeah! We ended our Super Bowl drought! Woo! Up top!
Yeah!
Woo!
Before the season even started. That's impressive.
Yeah.
We got the best team ever. If only. So what do you think about football in London?
The celebration still wants to continue.
It doesn't
apparently
want to end.
I've been having some problems with that celebration button. Maybe I've been cursed. Using it too much.
Well, it was all because of our Satan worship.
Maybe. I don't know.
And people just tuning in are going, what am I listening to? Maybe it was because of our Satan worship.
Yeah, no, we do sports news, entertainment news, Satan news, and odd news. What? Wait, what was that?
You know what would be a really good...
that in the middle?
You know what would be a really good thing, like a prank we could pull on listeners, is every once in a while we just drop a line like that with no context whatsoever.
Yeah, you know.
Did you get the gallon of blood for tonight's sacrifice?
By the way, you know, I was at my Satan worship the other day, and I noticed that these people were using their cell phones right in the middle of the worshiping.
I know. Like, how inappropriate.
Yeah.
God.
You're going to worship Satan.
I mean, not God. Satan.
If you're going to worship Satan, worship him.
Right? Can you have curses with Satan's name instead of God's name? Like, Satan, damn it. It doesn't roll off the tongue, does it?
No, it doesn't. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, anyway. We need to get back to football.
Yes, please.
It's supposed to be the sports. The last couple of times we've done the sports sampler, it hasn't stuck well to sports.
Well, it goes back to our thing about sports not being very interesting right now.
Yeah.
I mean, not that it's not interesting. It's just it's in the like this middle phase where nothing's happening in Philadelphia. So, yes, football in London. I think it's cool. I just think it's a logistical nightmare.
Oh, yeah. It is. On a lot, yeah, when you talk about the scheduling, it's just going to cause so much confusion.
Not only that, but you're taking away home games from certain teams.
That is very unfair.
And what about TV viewership? That kind of messes things up a little bit, doesn't it?
I don't know. Does
I don't know if it affects it. Have they aired London games?
Yeah, they have.
Oh, they have? Uh-huh. Okay.
I don't think that's a problem, but the fact that it takes away somebody's home game, that's pretty bad.
What about if you have like a big-name team going up against... a smaller market team, or what if you have like two small market teams? It might be weird. It might not get any airplay. I don't know. There's different ways it could affect it.
Yeah,
but the attendance for the home game, that's a big thing, because the one team is basically going to have 9 away games.
Yeah, whoever loses that home game.
Yeah,
yeah. That's really unfair. There should be. I don't know how you would correct it, but there should be something.
That's why they need to extend the season. Have everybody play 17 or 18 games, whatever, and add an extra bye week or two, and have every team go over there at least once. So you have 8 road games, 8 away games, and then 1 super road game.
What's a super road game?
You have to go across the ocean.
Oh, is that what you're calling it?
Yeah,
that's a London game.
Yeah,
super road game.
The Eagles are on their super road game now. We don't have enough exciting adjectives anymore.
We need more.
Just add super to everything. This is a super podcast now.
Whoa! Hey. And coming up, the super mega ultra podcast.
We added super.
That makes it more super.
What was that?
That's just coming.
Wow.
Yeah, aren't you excited?
You always surprise me with those clips.
Aren't you excited for the Super Duper Crispy Noodle podcast?
Yes. We should wear capes. It'd be fun.
Yes, on this episode of the Super Duper Crispy Noodle podcast,
we talk about sports, entertainment, and odd news.
All right.
Those transitions.
Yeah, exactly. I am the Satan's number proclaimer.
I've also said that, apparently, so go figure.
The things we catch while we're recording. Dickle.
Exactly. That's Mike's favorite one, Dickle.
Neither of us are safe.
Radical.
We do listen to you people. Sometimes. I haven't heard that one in a while.
The pause is what makes that one.
Yeah. Sometimes.
All right.
All right. I've said a lot of weird things.
Yes, you have, Mike. I hope you've realized that.
I'm really proud of that. I love this goat right now. I didn't know you got that one. I love this goat right now. Wow.
Stroll down memory lane.
Yeah, there are a lot of good out-of-context audio clips that we have.
Yeah. These hoes, they think they classy. Well, that's the class I'm skipping.
I apparently have said that.
I think that was our first show.
That was one of the first shows, yeah.
One of the first shows, yeah.
Yep, I said that rap line. All right, so there you go. That's that's the sports sampler for today.
I think there was some sports in there. There's some mention of sportly things.
Barely.
So let's move right along then out of the sports sampler and whatever travesty that was.
Now that's a transition.
That's a transition.
All right. Okay.
And let's move right on into the side dish.
Woo!
All right.
That's a sound effect.
That is a sound effect. for the side dish, we have a story about a bus driver that was fired over a Facebook post that he made regarding something that a student told him.
Ooh, so, Facebook?
Yeah, Facebook. Always getting people in trouble.
The book of the face.
The book of the face, yep. Yes. So there's a short video. Why don't we listen to it and hear what the story is all about?
All right. Let's see what the bus driver posted on Facebook that was so wrong.
He was working with a horse after his route and couldn't get what a student told him off his mind, that he was denied lunch at Harrelson County Middle School.
I simply made the Facebook post that said exactly that. Mr. Johnny, you know, I'm hungry, and I told the story exactly like it was. And then I posted my phone number and said, the next time we have a kid at the register for 40 cent, we can't feed him, please call me. I'll scrape up the money. But about 200 people hit it, liked it, loved it, did all the things that Facebook does, and it just caught fire.
The next day, Cook was called in for a meeting with the superintendent. He was given two options, essentially recant and apologize or be fired.
I felt like in my heart of hearts the kid was telling me the truth. Whether he was, whether he wasn't, I believed him. So I was not going to recant the story.
So what's happened since then?
Wow. Of course I was terminated.
But there are always two sides to every story.
I can assure you that it did not happen.
Harrelson County Superintendent Brett Stanton says he investigated the incident thoroughly.
The video surveillance footage clearly shows that the student never went through the lunch lines at Harrelson County Middle School.
Therefore, Stanton says the boy couldn't have been offered the bagged lunch for students in his situation.
All right, so essentially, kid says that he only had, he was 40 cents short of buying lunch,
and
was denied lunch.
Right.
Tells the bus driver goes on Facebook and says that if any kid is less than a dollar short, needs change, he would give it to any kid that would need it so that he could get lunch.
And he was...
And was fired by the school for it.
He was given the option of recanting the statement.
Oh, I forgot. Yes, he was given the option, you know, in that boardroom.
Yeah. Listen here, Mr. Bus Driver.
You're either going to recant that Facebook post or your job is going to be no longer needed.
I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse.
Very nice, Mike.
You can recant the statement or you're kaput.
I don't know.
Very just, nice, Mike.
Thank you.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Now that...
That's a good one.
That was a good one.
SpongeBob might have been better at this.
Yeah. So what do you think about that? Given the option to recant the statement or to be fired, I think that was a pretty classy move to stand by what he said.
I don't understand why it's so offensive.
Yeah.
Like, what? So what?
Because
all right, Mr. Bus Driver.
I guess the school is being painted in a bad light. So, oh, we can't have that. We can't have people speaking critically about our policies. So they fired him.
I don't think he's bashing the policy. He's just saying that if any kid needed money, he would lend him a couple, you know, quarters or something.
Right.
Like that's not.
But still, it's making them seem to be in a bad. It's painting them in a bad light. So maybe they took issue with that. I'm totally with the bus driver, though.
Oh yeah, the bus driver didn't do anything wrong.
I think the school. They're just. I don't know whether it's true or not. Regardless. I think their motivation to do this was less than noble, and I think that it seems wrong to me. They seem to be in a bad frame of mind.
Yeah, I don't understand why you felt... Also, the jump to firing him.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
wouldn't,
straight
shouldn't,
to firing
shouldn't there
him.
Be like, maybe like, wouldn't like the first offense be like suspension or something?
Yeah, there should be some disciplinary action.
Like if you have to, give him a some sort of punishment, suspend him or something.
Which makes me think maybe the story is true then.
Like you didn't need to jump to firing the guy.
But that makes me think the story is true then. They fire him and they brush it under the rug so they don't seem like this horrible school that's refusing children lunch.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
Well, that's what they thought.
Yeah. I mean, if you didn't have 40 cents, I've never been in a situation where. People are that strict. I mean, sometimes. But if it's a kid, this is like a fifth grader, he's short 40 cents. I mean, come on.
40 cents doesn't mean anything in today's world. Like, seriously.
They got that prison food chicken patty for like a quarter from whatever wholesaler they bought it from, Sodexo or whatever the other one is.
I love this goat right now.
No, goat is too expensive to serve at the schools, Rich. They're eating guinea pig and rat.
Sure, I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight, then.
Or Hot Pockets. Maybe it's a Hot Pocket.
It's a goat patty.
It's a goat patty. It's a goat Hot Pocket. That sounds nasty.
I love this goat right now. All right, but anyway, going back to the story.
So,
I don't think this bus driver's in the wrong. I don't see why he's fired. I think this whole thing is overblown.
Same here. Same here. I think the school is completely out of line with their actions and their motivations.
Whether or not the story's real, because the guy's saying that there's no way the kid or something was actually in the lunch line that day or something, whatever. That's not even the point. The point is you didn't need to fire this bus driver.
Yeah, this hardworking bus driver that's just...
Who just said, hey, if somebody needs change, I'd gladly give him change.
He's expressing an opinion, which, first of all, last time I checked, was allowed.
This is America.
This is America, damn it.
Yeah. On the boats and on the planes.
Not if you're short 40 cents.
Now that's an American, Neil Diamond. I don't have any like Star Spangled Banner on my soundboard, but I have Neil Diamond.
I have a Jimi Hendrix version of that. The Star Spangled Banner.
Oh, I'll have to transfer it to my thing now. One of these shows.
It's all just him riffing, so. Why not?
Where's Neil Diamond? Neil Diamond would have set this in order.
Yeah. He would have done something.
He would have made sure this situation was right.
Right. Okay.
Because this is America. I don't know where I'm going with that.
I don't know either.
Welcome to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Three topics and three diversions.
We're 0-3 right now.
We're par for the course. See, I know my golf.
Hey! Very nice, Mike.
Oh.
Well, anyway, just in conclusion, we think the bus driver, right? We're both on that?
Yes.
Both
agree? Yes.
The bus driver should not have been fired, and that school system reacted too harshly.
Yes, I concur. So that wraps up the side dish, which brings us to...
the entertainment entree!
I love this goat right now. That's just going to become the clip for the entire show. I love this goat right now.
Oh, there you go. Mike likes goats.
Yes. Yeah, goat is pretty good.
To eat?
Yeah.
Do you eat goat?
Yeah.
Yeah?
You never had goat before?
No, not to eat, no.
Really?
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Really? I didn't know that.
And I've had lamb, too.
Crocodile. I love this goat right now.
And that's my exact reaction, too. See, that's the image that I have, but that's also my reaction when I'm eating goat.
I love this goat right now.
So, now we're talking about food.
Yeah,
the crispy noodle.
Yeah, noodle and goats apparently with you.
Right. So, anyway, entertainment entree. We got some entertainment news. As you know, a couple of days ago, America's Got Talent started for whatever season they're on.
All right,
Yeah,
that's definitely one of those. Whatever season.
It's a reality show.
Whatever. I don't know, whatever season they're on.
It's like 11 or 12, something ridiculous. Anyway, there was one
more act. Than 10, less than 12.
Yeah, yes. Somewhere in that range. But as you know, with these reality shows, these talent competitions, a lot of times there's one or two acts that really take the nation by storm. There was a young girl that did an amazing rendition of one of my favorite songs, House of the Rising Sun.
Oh, yeah. Definitely my favorite of mine, too.
But the way she sings it, well, maybe I should just play the video and let people decide for themselves.
Yeah, let's hear let's hear how she did. How old is she again?
She's 10.
10-year-old girl singing House of the Rising Sun.
How are you? I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's your name?
Anna Christine.
Anna Christine, welcome to America's Got Talent.
Thanks.
How old are you?
I'm 10 years old.
Wow. Are you you nervous up there, 10 years old?
Kinda.
What are you going to be doing for us today?
I'm going to sing and play the piano.
Well, let's hear you sing. Why delay this? And best of luck.
Okay, thank you.
That's a performance.
Chills, man. Chills.
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
She says she's 10.
She says she's 10.
And she pulled off something like that. Wow.
I mean, there are musicians that are more than twice her age that can't sing like that.
Yeah.
Just absolutely breathtaking. I wish people could see the reactions of the judges. Howard Stern and Howie Mandel are just, their jaws are on the table like the entire time. They're looking at each other like, is this really happening?
Yeah, is this a joke?
Yeah. It was that. I mean, well, everybody heard it. It was stunning.
Yeah.
Just
from a 10-year-old girl.
Incredible.
And of course, and awesome that she chose House of the Rising Sun.
What a great song to choose instead of some crappy teen pop song.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, songs with some, you know, meaning.
Yeah, as some opposed soul to and some.
Some other songs like today. Jesus Christ.
There is a minor, I don't know if it's a controversy, but I'm reading the Reddit comment section. They say there's no way she can be 10.
I don't know, maybe. What do you think? That voice sounds very older.
Yeah.
For 10.
It sounds very mature for a 10-year-old.
Like, yeah.
I don't know if you've heard 10-year-old kids talk.
Mommy! I don't know. That's
they don't sound like that. And it's interesting because some people are saying, well, this is the internet, so everything has to be taken with a grain of salt. The internet was speaking to me in tongues. Exactly. One person says that they're a pediatrician, and they say that the girl is at least 12.
Is that right? Is this her pediatrician or just?
No, it's just.
Yeah, like how do you know then? Yeah. Like,
first off, I don't know if the person's actually a pediatrician, but the person says she's at least 12 because of the way the voice sounds. In her experience, 10-year-olds don't sound like that.
Well, maybe she already hit puberty or something.
Well, they're saying that kids are hitting puberty earlier and earlier.
Yeah,
right?
Maybe this is the result. You're getting 10-year-olds that can belt out a tune.
With a voice like Adele.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You know what? You're right. She could be the next Adele or something. Yeah.
Except instead of 21, she's
10. That's going to be the next fad. You have to name your album by how old you are.
But then you get like 100 million 18, 19.
Yeah.
Oh, we're angsty teens. Oh, God. Oh, music. Oh, radical. No, that was the 90s.
That's from your album, Mike's 60, Mike's 6.
What?
Would you be? Yeah, you'd be 6 years old in 95. So
yeah, yeah,
your album is 6.
Six.
Mike.
So moody and angsty.
That's from the album Mike 6.
Radical.
there's another one from Mike 23.
Praise the glorious leader.
There you go.
You remembered my age.
Yes, I did. I know you, Mike.
Aw, thanks.
Yep. Oh, and I have one.
Oh, you have one?
Yeah, this is from Rich24. These hoes, they think they classy. Well, that's the class I'm skipping.
There you go. That's right, your classic spoken word album of postmodern poetry. Right?
Yes. Exactly. These hoes, they think they classy. Well, that's the class I'm skipping. There you go.
You know, this is true of most songs. If you read the lyrics, just read them, no matter what song it is, it sounds pretty funny. Have you ever noticed that?
A lot of rap songs, yeah.
Yeah. Rap songs in particular.
Yeah. Just like that. I read a Lil Wayne lyric, and there you go.
It's been countless hours of humor for us.
Yeah. So, there you go. That's a new fad.
Yes. Naming your album after your age. But make sure to check out America's Got Talent. See if there's any other hidden stars this year. But speaking
of... That was a cool girl.
Yeah. Awesome, awesome performance, awesome song. The whole thing was awesome. But another music story that you wanted to bring up that has to do with modern musicians.
Supposedly.
Supposedly.
Well, they're modern in the sense that they're still alive after 50 years. My band, the Rolling Stones. Oh, you can't go wrong with some Stones.
No, you can't.
Unbelievable that they're not only still alive, not only are they still still producing singles, they're still effing touring.
Right.
50 years old. Yeah. Mick Jagger and Keith Richards have been together.
They're still on the road.
They're still on the road touring. So, first off, it's awesome that they're still doing this. 50 years. This is the 50th year that the Rolling Stones incredible. Has been in existence.
But you were saying they got a little help from modern, well-known, quote-unquote, popular, quote-unquote, talented musician.
Yeah, this is where the modern comes in.
I'm sorry. I'm just really against modern music. Well, but anyway.
The Rolling Stones was in Chicago over the weekend.
I can tell you're having a hard time with
this. I know. I just...
He's so, really struggling to come to grips with this.
I know. It's very tough for me, but for whatever.
For I'll all music lovers.
I suppose there could be worse artists that the Rolling Stones could have teamed up with.
Oh, I don't even want to imagine.
Yeah. But the Rolling Stones apparently met Taylor Swift.
Because, of course, when you think Rolling Stones, you think Taylor Swift. Yeah. Right?
No. but apparently they met her. They liked her. And they wanted her to sing when they came into Chicago. And they had her on to sing one of the Rolling Stones' classic singles, As Tears Go By. And I gotta admit, she did a pretty good job.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, she did. She did a good job.
All right.
So apparently Taylor Swift is not as bad as I thought she was. So.
Oh, wow.
There you
go. Coming from you, that's high praise.
Yep. And I got a little clip of her singing. The song As Tears Go By with the Rolling Stones from Chicago.
All right, I want to hear this.
All right, let's play the clip. There you go. She pulled it off.
And if the Rolling Stones see something in her, then...
Tell you what, that's huge for Taylor Swift.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Know? Get to I be know. Like,
to be
I
mentioned
sang.
With the Rolling Stones.
And sang with the Rolling Stones, yeah.
Yeah.
That's definitely going to be something
she can...
I mean,
you're talking about rock
can...
royalty right there.
Oh, yeah.
They have a freaking magazine named after them.
The Rolling Stones... that's not true, but... good job, Mike.
Oh, Rolling Stones, the Rolling Stones. I thought they were the same
thing. Why not?
But
we just make up facts on the show.
You know, it's funny. Taylor Swift also loves goats.
I love this goat right now. So there you go. Maybe you two can get along.
But yeah, when you just talk, when you think about the Rolling Stones and just their history, you know, they were the second wave after the Beatles. Like they were the hard rock form of the Beatles.
They're usually mentioned in the top five bands of all time.
Oh yeah,
I mean, you got the Beatles, obviously, then the Rolling Stones, Led Zeppelin, Queen, Pink Floyd, bands like that. They usually those are the top spots.
But just, you know, just their music, just
great music,
legendary and historic, and
yeah.
Popular too. That you could, you know, just even the casual listen goer probably knows
at least a couple of songs.
I Can't Get No Satisfaction, Give Me Shelter, Start Me Up.
Everybody probably knows that one. My personal favorite is Sympathy for the Devil.
Sympathy for the Devil,
which would have worked well a couple weeks ago
for our show.
The devil worshiping.
Yeah. Welcome to the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We also delve in devil worshiping and football.
We bring you the best of sports, entertainment, odd news, and satanic worship because they go together so well.
Yeah. So,
but like you were saying, though, the Rolling Stones are incredible.
Get back, demon!
There you go.
So, and the Rolling Stones want us to have sympathy for the devil.
Get back, demon!
They want us to feel sympathy for the devil, so...
So what?
I don't know. They're looking at the devil in a favorable light. Hey, guys, go easy on him. He's not so bad.
Now the Rolling Stones are the devil?
No, they're not the devil. They're in league with the Dark Lord of the Shadows.
Well, you know what? I'll quote Bill Hicks on this.
Okay.
If it's between hell and the Rolling Stones or heaven and, at the time, New Kids on the Block were the band they make fun of, I'd rather rock on the flames of hell and high five Satan with the jamming tunes than listen to.
There you go.
Yeah. At the time he said it was New Kids on the Block, because that's when he that's when he was a comic. But
you can just put any modern band in there.
Yeah. Now it's
Justin Bieber. Ugh.
And One Direction and whatever the hell else the kids listen to.
Those young whippersnappers. Those
kids on the Wave FM.
Back in my day we had real music and Pluto was a planet. I love saying that.
We got rid of a planet, all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, while you were crapping your pants, we got rid of a planet. How do you like that one for size?
Top that.
All right, so anyway, there you go.
So
I guess I have to admit, Taylor Swift is pretty cool now.
Yeah, she did a good job.
Though, for the love of God, stop dropping boyfriends left and right.
Yeah, that's... I got to be honest. I don't think it's the boy's fault. When she's going through boyfriends like that, come on.
Take some time. Be single for a while. Enjoy it. I don't know. Don't.
But what will she write songs about, Rich?
Oh, God. She'll be with the Rolling Stones. There you go. Be Mick Jagger's boyfriend. There you go. That would make headlines.
Oh, that would last long.
Ah! That's all Mick Jagger would have to say. Taylor. I don't know. I can't do Mick Jagger.
No, I'm not going to try. It's just bad.
Well, you started.
All right, Taylor, come over. I
can't do it. I just can't do it.
It's like a Cockney accent.
I know. I can't do anything.
Governor, shine your shoes.
Yeah.
Righto.
I know. I'm going.
Pip cheerio.
Yeah, I'm going Cockney. I don't know. I can't seem to do it.
I'm horrible at accents, so.
You know what's funny? And I was just watching the video again on silent.
Right.
Keith Richards is just in the background playing the guitar part of that song.
Right, right.
He doesn't look like he has any idea what's going on. He's like, who's this girl singing?
What's this instrument in my hands?
What? No, he's aware of the guitar.
Oh, he's aware of the guitar.
He keeps looking at the guitar, but he has no idea like who's singing in front of him. Like, yeah, like,
okay.
Who's what? What's a Taylor Swift?
What's a Taylor Swift?
Yeah.
Is that a new product?
Is it fast?
Yes.
Swift, get it?
Yeah, there you go. You got it.
Radical.
All right, so anyway, there you go. Props to Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
She played with the Rolling Stones and did a good job.
Hey, if you can rock with the Rolling Stones...
You're good in my book.
There you go. You've made it in Rich's book, which is all that matters.
Yes. All right, so don't...
Forget the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
No, you made it in my book. That's what matters. So, don't you forget that. The thing that pisses me off.
Yeah, the thing that pisses me off is if you're not in my good book. There you go.
Yep.
Whatever the hell that means. All right.
But
let's move on to a different topic.
Speaking of, interesting that you brought that up, speaking of people being on the wrong side of things, I found an interesting article about some actors that trashed their own movies.
Oh.
Some actors and actresses speaking out against some of their films that weren't as good.
Oh, I have a couple ideas of who would do it.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. There's a couple, there's a repeat on the list. The guy that keeps on coming back up, Shia LaBeouf. Is that how you say his name?
I believe so.
Okay.
I just say that crappy guy.
That crappy guy. Wow. Wow. Do you remember him from Even Stevens from Disney way back when?
Yeah, and I didn't watch him then.
You didn't watch him then either?
No. The thing that pisses me off. Was
Shia LaBeouf?
He kind of does, yeah. I never liked him.
He is very obnoxious and kind of pompous too.
Oh, there you go. But I don't like him.
Anyway. Well, this is what he had to say about something else that we don't like, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Oh, wait. All right.
What?
I don't...
Are you going to defend the movie?
No, I don't hate it. I think it's all right.
You just dislike it with extreme prejudice.
It's
not good.
I think it was...
He hid in the fridge.
They should have.
There were aliens, Rich.
Yeah, there were aliens. Yeah, it's called Nuking the Fridge. All right.
Indiana Jones has a son.
But I thought it was all right. They should have made that movie 10 years earlier. They waited too long to make Indy 4, and that's not anybody's fault. But
they did wait way
Lucas
too long.
Lucas and Spielberg. That's one of the main problems.
Now they're going to want to make Indy 5 and Indy 6.
No, they better not. It's just too old.
They're talking about Indy 5 already.
Really?
Yeah.
It's too old.
And Jurassic Park 4, they're trying to bring back all those franchises.
Well, I don't care about Jurassic Park.
E.T. 2?
You can have your Jurassic Park. I don't care.
Motherfucking pterodactyl. What's up with you and Jurassic Park?
I don't know. Just dinosaurs never appealed to me. I'm sorry.
Did in the movie madness thing. And
I know. Dinosaurs never appealed to me. When we had
I
to
was
cover...
all about dinosaurs,
when we covered that in science, I fell asleep.
How do you fall asleep about dinosaurs?
I did.
Massive... walking lizards that tear things to shreds with their vicious teeth and talons.
And they don't exist.
They existed at one time.
Yeah, but they don't now. I don't know. That's my...
You're going to fault them for dying off?
Yeah, they're weak.
They're weak. Dinosaurs that lived millions of years longer than humans are weak.
I don't know.
Anyway, let's get back on track. Motherfucking pterodactyl.
Though, made a good clip of you. So I like
yes, it did. You know what? I'm going to skip right to Mark Wahlberg because he has similar views about his movie, The Happening.
Ah, The Happening.
Dropped a couple of F-bombs. He said...
Isn't that M. Night Shyamalan?
Yeah.
Yeah, so M. Night Shyamalan's not doing too good between our...
If anybody heard our recent review of After Earth...
Yeah, that was not very good.
That fucking sucked.
That's very eloquent.
Except I wasn't that happy when I said it.
Yeah.
So this is what Mark Wahlberg had to say in regards to strong feelings about a particular movie, particular M. Night Shyamalan movie, The Happening. He said, "It was a bad movie that I did. F it. It is what it is. Effing trees, man. The plants, F it. You can't blame me for not wanting to try to play a science teacher. At least I wasn't playing a cop or a crook."
Yeah, that was a bad movie.
That's strong language, though, for your own movie.
It's a bad movie.
It is a bad movie.
I wonder, and this is something
it's a
that,
horrible movie.
This is something I've heard actors try and dodge a question on, but like the chances are there's probably a point when you're making the movie that you realize this is going to be
a bad
movie.
There's no way
you
sign up for like Piranhas 3D and you're like, this is a masterpiece of modern...
This is going to make my career.
Modern cinematic art. Don't you get what the piranhas symbolize?
Freddy Got Fingered is going to make my career so much.
Freddy, would you like some sausage? Freddy, would you like some sausages? Freddy, would you like some sausage? Sausages! Sausages!
Maybe you should have been a part of Freddy Got Fingered and that movie would have took off.
Maybe.
Freddy, would you like some sausage? Freddy, would you like some sausages?
There you go.
So, you're right. I mean, actors at some point have to realize that the movie they're making is complete and utter... horrible, I was going to say something bad, Stuff. How are you not aware of that? If you act in multiple movies and TV shows and you do voiceovers and stuff, how do you not tell that a movie is crap?
Yeah.
You know, have to know.
There has to be a point where something like that happens.
Yeah. And these guys are just willing to admit it.
Yeah.
Regardless of what you think about these actors, because some of them I'm not very fond of, like Mark Wahlberg and Shia LaBeouf, and Megan Fox doesn't really have any redeeming qualities other than her looks. Sorry. I'm wow. like really cynical today.
Wow. Mike going after Megan Fox. Wow.
Hey, come on. What else has she done other than Transformers?
That fucking sucked.
Which also sucked.
All right. So Shia LaBeouf on the list. Mark Wahlberg on the list. What else do you have?
George Clooney said something pretty funny about Ocean's 12. He said, it wasn't as good as the first one, and that was our fault. So when we started working on this one, we thought, the secret is to get back to just the guys doing what they do. Steven said we should call it Ocean's, the one we should have made last time.
That was when he was talking about Ocean's 13.
Yes. And he was referring to Ocean's 12.
Yeah.
And you're a fan of those movies, and yes, you said,
Ocean's 12 is the worst in that trilogy.
It's a sophomore slump.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with Vegas. Very thinly has to do with the villain from the first one. But he's not the actual villain in the second one. He's just kind of like...
Is he supposed to be like a recurring villain?
Well, I mean...
To a certain degree?
To a certain degree, yeah. I mean, when you have the Ocean's franchise, you have Danny Ocean versus Benedict or the casino mogul. You're supposed to have some sort of casino mogul or some sort of Las Vegas, Las Vegas celebrity kind of a guy.
Big shot,
yeah.
Sort of guy.
Right. And in the second one, they go to Europe. And okay. It's just like, woo, we're having fun in Europe.
I mean, you could do an interesting movie in Europe, but
it's not Ocean's. Danny Ocean is supposed to be in Vegas.
Okay.
He made his living on being a card shark, being a thief in Vegas.
Right.
Like, you can't, I don't know, it doesn't seem right to have an Ocean story that's not in Vegas, and they didn't in Ocean's 12. They went to Europe.
Did they go back in Ocean's 13?
Yes, they did. Yeah. In Ocean's 13, they brought it back home, and it was so much better. And you had Al Pacino as the mogul that needed to be robbed.
Pacino's always awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Ocean's...
I'm on the casino floor! I'm also going to need... We're to know where the bathroom is. Yeah.
Al Pacino. That's exactly how he would say it, too, probably.
Yeah, because you got to go low, and then you go high, and then you go low again.
Manny, look at it. Pelican, play. Come on, Pelican.
Unless you're talking about pelicans.
Come on, pelicans. I don't know. So excited for a drug lord. I always thought the incongruity there was funny.
Manny, look at it. Pelican, play. Come on, Pelican.
Al Pacino and Scarface.
But yeah, now when he's in Ocean's 13, yeah, he works well as the Las Vegas casino boss that needs to be robbed of.
So Ocean's 12 is the black sheep of that franchise, and George Clooney was willing to admit it.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. There's a couple comments about Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. Is that the third one?
I don't know. I was never in the Transformers. I avoided it altogether.
Yeah. Basically, Shia LaBeouf says there was no heart. The heart was gone. He wasn't impressed with what they did. Megan Fox said, I'm in the movie, and I read the script, and I watched the movie, and I still don't know what was happening. Wait, it gets better. I think if you haven't read the script, and you go and see it, and understand it, you may be a genius. This is a movie for geniuses.
That's funny.
Transformers is a movie for geniuses.
Woo! There you
Not
go.
Memento or Inception or any of those mind benders. Transformers yeah. is the one you have to see if you want true intellectual stimulation.
Woo! Yeah.
What do you think about that one?
I don't know.
Did you even see the Transformers movies?
No, I never got into Transformers.
But I watched them just because it's senseless action, and I have to say it's one of those movies where you check your brain at the door, and you just.
That's pretty pathetic, though. Yeah. If you're in the movie, you've read the script, you're acting in it, and you don't understand it. Like that. There you go. That's a sign you're in a bad movie.
That is a sign. If you can't follow it and you're like a main part of it.
Yeah, you're a main part of this movie and you can't understand it.
That's a problem. That's a big problem.
Definitely.
What else? Any other good ones on the list?
And we got, you also have Katherine Heigl on Knocked Up.
Knocked Up. Right. She said that the movie was a little sexist. It paints the women as shrews, as humorless and uptight, and it paints the men as lovable, goofy, fun-loving guys.
They can't be.
It exaggerated the characters, and I had a hard time with it on some days. I'm playing such a bitch. Why is she being such a killjoy? Why is this how you're portraying women? 98% of the time, it was an amazing experience, but it was hard for me to love the movie. Wow.
I guess maybe when it was edited all down, she feels like her character was a bitch.
Maybe.
I mean,
I didn't really get that from the movie. I the whole point of the movie is that they both had problems that they had to work through, you know, standard rom-com stuff.
But she, I think she feels that because she's the career woman, she's the one that comes off as a bitch. Whereas, right. What's his face?
Seth Rogen. He's a deadbeat, though.
Yeah. He. I think she feels like she feels that Seth Rogen's character, like, didn't have anything to lose from having an unplanned baby.
Right.
You know?
That makes a little sense. But it also portrayed him as such a deadbeat that couldn't do anything right. I mean, maybe that is kind of goofy and lovable in a way, but also it's not a very positive view of him. I don't know. How do you feel about that? I can see it from both perspectives. I can see it from her perspective, and I can see it from...
I agree with what you said. I feel like, right, I can understand both their angles here.
Yeah, because one might look like a bitch, but the other's a deadbeat. What would you rather be, a bitch or a deadbeat? You know, it's not like one's better than the other. It's like, let's see, I can waste my life away, or I could be an uptight bitch.
But if you're going to be a prick to everybody. There you go.
There you go.
One of my golden rules in life, apparently. If you're going to be a prick to everyone.
So that comment, I can see it either way.
I can't believe I said that in an episode.
But anyway, Katherine Heigl, she thinks that movie portrayed her as a bitch. I don't know. You know what?
That was actually movie on that list that I liked.
Yeah, I liked Knocked Up.
Out of all of them.
I'll tell you what, though. I think that's a common complaint among, or not, a common feeling among women, is that if they feel like they're too career-oriented or too goal-minded, they're afraid that they will come off as a bitch.
Yeah.
You know?
The pantsuit wearing, uptight, you know?
Yeah, I think that is a little bit unfair.
That is unfair.
Like, if a guy is career-minded and...
He's a go-getter. He's awesome.
Right,
He's got his stuff together. He's a professional.
A woman is the same way. She's like, a bitch.
Yeah, look at that bitch. How dare she? She's so uptight. God, lighten up a bit, you little.
Do you have somebody in specific, Mike? You're going off there.
No. But no, you're right. There is that perception. It is kind of unfair, and it's kind of really weird too that society works that way.
Yeah.
If you're a guy and you're career driven, you're awesome. You're a woman and career driven, you're a bitch.
Yeah, that's very unfair.
Yeah.
We are the Crispy Noodle Podcast, and we won't stand for that.
And now we got social commentary too.
Yeah,
we got everything.
We got everything. And
you cannot go wrong with this show. You really can't.
Yeah, the latest in sports, entertainment, Satan, odd news, and social issues.
And social issues
and Satan.
What? Satan? You had to say Satan twice, didn't you?
I am the Satan. Number proclaimer.
I'm also that, apparently. So there you go.
As the Satan's number proclaimer, I think you should say that word again.
The what?
The hexacosi, whatever.
I don't even remember what the hell it was. I'd have to Google it or something. I don't know.
That's all right.
That was a different time.
That was a different time. So long ago, like 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
Are you reborn now?
Yeah,
reborn?
No, I don't know.
I don't know.
I dedicate my efforts to this show, not to Satan.
Unless
Satan is going to provide us with booze. That's the only exception. I am on the side
You'd be willing to sell your soul for booze.
I'm on the side of whoever gives us booze and good music.
How much booze?
I don't know.
Is this like a can of beer you're willing to sell your soul?
Which side has the booze? Which side has the good music? That's where I'm at.
All right.
All right, anyway, getting back to the acting thing. Those are a couple of movies that actors diss on their own. Also, apparently George Clooney on that list disses Batman and Robin because that was a horror movie.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He has said in many interviews that's also like another one that he absolutely hates and can't believe he made.
Wow. That's cool, though, when actors can be honest like that, I guess.
Yeah, but...
Well, it depends how...
If If you hated it, then don't shoot it. Or, like, say something on the set. Hey, this movie doesn't feel right.
But maybe you thought it was going to be awesome. Oh, man, this is going to be awesome. I can't wait. And you get, like...
That movie was bad when Arnold Schwarzenegger said his first ice-related pun. All right?
They're so bad.
They should have known right there that things were bad right there.
Wasn't one like, ice to see you?
You never put me in the cooler, Batman. Like that.
Oh, but
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age. Oh, that's another one.
That's not even a pun. That's just like a fifth.
I'm just going to ask a fifth grade science question.
It wasn't the Ice Age that killed the dinosaurs. It was a meteor.
Oh, all right. So there
you go. Or depending on what theory you want, the volcanoes. I guess they did bring on an ice age, but whatever. Anyway. Motherfucking pterodactyl. That's all you need to
know.
There you go. So moving right along. I don't know how I'm going to transition to this.
All right. Okay.
There you go.
You can use one of mine. You can borrow one of my transitions if you'd like.
Well, thank you for lending me your transition.
All right. Okay.
I found a video of two really passive-aggressive news anchors that I thought was really funny. And they're actually from Philadelphia. Channel 3. It says Philadelphia on the video.
Wow.
So do we want to give this a listen? Let's hear how passive-aggressive these news anchors can be.
All right. Let's take a listen to this.
After that, we like that with a couple of shower chances by the time we get to Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And thanks for the hard-to-get applause, Nicole and Kevin. Yes.
How's that, Carol? Is that good enough for you? Okay, I'll try a little harder next time. Thanks so much. Meanwhile, a high-speed chase with... Wow. Good for Ozzy. Now, it may be his birthday, but, Carol, when it comes to the weather, we want no monkey business, okay? Well, good things.
It's 49 degrees in Philadelphia, Nicole. We have a temperature of 30.
I tried. Give me that, can you?
38 degrees up through the Allentown area at this point. 44 in damp weather. Not anything nearly as great as it will be this weekend, Nicole.
Well, Carol, I would say that forecast is bananas, but I know that's going to be completely wasted on you. So I won't. Taking it back right now. All right, changing gears. Well, our time now, 6:30. Let's get you a check on weather with meteorologist Carol Erickson in the Weather Center.
Nicole, morning, it's just perfect out there.
Breathtaking.
It's wonderful.
Lovely like you, Carol.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Is how I would describe it.
It's me too.
Yeah, I knew you would.
Nicole.
I could see you pulling that whole, don't you know who I am? Come on.
You said you could.
I could see you doing it.
Oh, you...
Yeah, I could see
you. You don't know me at all. You don't know who I... Oh,
don't
sorry.
You there know... See?
That was an interesting little exchange. I'm sure she regrets, along with that last glass of whatever.
Silence! I kill you!
What do you think about that?
Wow. They really don't like each other.
Yeah, that was really awkward at some points.
I love how during the one weather report, she was like obviously talking over her.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of that.
In the Allentown area, it's going to be 45 degrees. I'm trying to give you a reference right here. And over here, it's 35 degrees. Like, wow.
Yeah, that was... You could like hear the...
Disdain, yeah.
Yeah, it was... And I wish people could see their faces because the ones like always rolling her eyes. And it was like really obvious. There's no attempts to hide it. And apparently this is from Philadelphia.
Yeah, I can't believe this is in a major market. Like, you think by now CBS would want to...
Like, how has nobody noticed this?
You'd think, like, they'd fire one of them.
I might watch it tonight to see.
Just to see if more shenanigans happen.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
I'll tell you what. If I was the media boss for CBS, that's what I would say.
Yeah.
Like, this makes you look stupid.
It really does. It makes them seem childish, doesn't it?
Yeah. You know, at least while you're on the air.
Put it aside, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, you don't have to have a witty transition. We don't always don't have witty transitions.
Obviously. Obviously we don't. All right. Okay.
But at least we're not, like, openly passive-aggressive with each other, you know?
Yeah, you know?
Jeez, Rich.
At least when we're off the air, that's when we hate each other.
As soon as we stop recording, we lunge across the table and start attacking each other.
No, we're on the air for the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We're here for you. And we put together a great uplifting show. And Mr. Microphone. See, we're in unison.
Yes.
That's how we do things.
And Mr. Microphone.
But then after the air, then we shiv each other in the knee with a knife.
And then some mild Satan worshiping.
And mild, yeah, and Satan, yeah. We have a fight, we bleed, and then we use the blood and we worship Satan. There we go. It all works out. I am the Satan's number proclaimer.
There you go. That's how it all works out.
Yep. Just like that.
But yeah, I can't believe these girls are doing it on the air.
Yeah. And so obviously, too.
Yeah.
It was really, it was a stunning thing to watch. It was just so, they were so evil. Well, the one mostly, the main news anchor, was really mean to the weather woman.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so unprofessional. Especially for a top five market like Philadelphia. I know. That's the thing that blows me away. I can't believe this is Philadelphia.
Yeah, I'm pretty like, sure
this
is Philly.
This is a top five market. Usually you would see stuff like this or like the news story that the first guy, when he had his first job, his first lines on the air was F you or something.
That was pretty funny.
Like that usually happens in small to mid-market areas.
Yeah.
Philadelphia is a top five major market. I can't believe this is...
This is the 5 o'clock news on CBS.
I can't believe this is going on.
Yeah, this isn't like the CW. This is... this
yeah, is, I'd believe it more if it was CW.
This is CBS at 5 o'clock. This isn't like early morning or late night. This is main news watching time.
Yeah. You know what? Either fire one of the girls or CBS Philly should bill it and let's have a steel cage match and raise funds for charity. Why the hell not?
Watch our super passive aggressive news anchors. Put these, 9 to 5.
Yeah, put these two in a steel cage match.
Put me in a cage with that SOB. Please put me in a cage. A cage. A cage.
Wow, I'll tell you what, Ric Flair would not mind being in a steel cage with two weathermen, or weather, was it, anchors?
One anchor and one weather woman.
Yeah.
And former Miss Pennsylvania, she's very good looking.
There you go, Ric Flair. Woo!
She was the super passive aggressive one, the good looking one.
Woo! Ric Flair would not mind going into a steel cage with two women. Woo!
Pal, I'm going to take your girlfriend home and make her say Mickey Mouse. I'm not kidding you.
Yeah, there you go.
Make her say Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
Ooh.
He's going to make those two say Mickey Mouse.
Things are getting hot. Say Mickey Mouse. Come on, say
My
it for me.
My whole career, I've always done better than anybody else. Only because of one reason. I was born with a golden spoon.
Yeah, he'll show the girls his golden spoon.
Hey-o.
Hey-o.
Cage in a steel cage with a golden spoon, making him say Mickey Mouse.
That's Ric Flair, and he'll do it. He'll do it. You give him the chance, he'll do it.
He'll do it.
He will.
I'm the president of the company. If I want to stand out here naked, I'll do it.
You'll do it.
I'm Ric Flair. I'm the president.
Yeah, see, Rick. When Ric Flair thought he was the president of WCW, he thought he could do anything.
I am Ric Flair, the president of the United States.
No.
WCW.
Even going so far as the usurp President Obama, he'll do it.
Of the United States. No, WCW.
One of his best mess-ups ever.
That was pretty good.
Ric Flair is... Now, that would be a headline.
Yeah.
We have breaking news.
Ric Flair usurps the presidency. Yep. More at 11.
By God, what the hell's going on tonight?
How many of these clips do you have?
You know, he's a great wrestler. You know, just like we were mentioning...
Deacon Jones.
Just like Deacon Jones, he's been a mainstay. Ric Flair rarely misses a performance. He's been around for that long. So I have so many clips of him.
So, go figure.
Don't walk on me. I'm not through gloating.
That's a great one.
I'm not through gloating.
That's a great one. Wow. He won that. He said that after he won like his first world title, and like the interviewer was about to pull away the microphone and like go to a commercial, and he grabs the microphone. And he's like, "No, I'm not through gloating."
Wow.
Don't walk on me. I'm not through gloating.
There you go, Ric. Shout out to Ric Flair.
Ric Flair. Yeah.
If he's listening, I don't know.
Shout out to Ric Flair.
I think this may have broken our record for the most tangents in one episode.
Maybe.
We should count them somehow.
Every time I have something ready, we keep going off on a different tangent, and then I have to go back and I lose it. That's something I've said in anger.
Yes.
Trying to keep track of all the randomness we go on.
You know, if we tried to keep track of the tangents, we would go off on a tangent about keeping track of the tangents.
It would be Transitception.
I want to propose something. One show, we should not do an outline and just talk.
Freeball it?
Just freeball it. What do you think?
Oh, my God.
We should, like, plan it, and we should have it be
a
special.
You said not plan. It's freeball.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Yeah, what kind of... That's the complete opposite of planning a show. I want to have a totally scripted, improvised show. Wait, what?
Well, it's barely scripted as it is, Rich. There's only, like, four bullet points on this outline, and we've missed all of them. No, we've hit them, but then we went way past. That's weird. That's weird enough to transition into our weirdest segment.
All right. It's time for our non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders and go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Woo!
All right. This is always my favorite segment, as everybody knows. I say that every episode. I can't stress it enough.
Yeah, definitely one of your favorites because of the weird stories that we get. And these are real. We never make these up.
Unfortunately.
Some of these, yeah. You
Some wonder. Of them you just go, why? Why?
All right, you ready for our first story?
Yes, please.
A Wyoming high school student who was able to build a nuclear reactor was...
Wait, what? Is that literally the first line of the story?
Yep.
Local high school student builds nuclear reactor.
A Wyoming high school senior who built a nuclear reactor was disqualified from the International Science and Engineering Fair this month on a technicality.
Oh, come on.
It seems that the senior had competed in too many science fairs.
Wait, what? How's that fair? It's like, oh, he's so smart. He's competed in so many. He literally built a nuclear reactor, something that rocket scientists have a hard time with, and he gets disqualified?
Yeah, sadly. Ugh. The infraction was reported by the former director of the Wyoming State Science Fair. Officials at the University of Wyoming, which sponsors the state event, said that after the international fair, the director of the Wyoming State Science Fair had acted outside her authority. The newspaper reports that Farnsworth is one of only 15 high school students in the world to successfully build a nuclear fusion reactor. But unfortunately, he had competed in too many science fairs and was technically disqualified from the fair that he had applied for when he built this nuclear reactor. Farnsworth has gone on the record and says that this disqualification was, quote, silly.
Yeah.
He still is planning to graduate from high school this month and wants to go to the South Dakota School of Mines. I don't know if it's actually Mines.
Yeah, wait, the School of Mines.
Yeah. Okay. M-I-N-E-S. I don't know if that's like a place or if it actually means landmines or something.
Landmines?
Welcome to campus. Good luck.
If you can make it to class, you've already passed. Jeez. What is that? That's the incoming freshman class.
Whoa, it's only lunchtime.
You hungry? We're having mystery meat today. Could you imagine being a janitor at that school?
No!
Oh my God. My head literally hurts from laughing so hard. All right, that's it. Good night, everybody.
What's more important to bring with you, your laptop or your metal detector? Oh my gosh.
Wow.
The quad looks a little different today.
Oh
That's what they say on the.
We just can't stop laughing.
What's the first day of college when they give you that speech?
Orientation?
Yeah.
Welcome to orientation, everyone.
That's what happens when you're late.
There you go. The South Dakota School of Mines.
We don't know what it's for. It's either...
That's either the name of the location or if they really have landmines there.
That's not even what the story was about.
No, but sometimes it's little things.
Yeah. Anyway.
Like a landmine. You thought North Philadelphia was bad. All right, let's move on to the next story.
All right. I don't know what could ever top that. We'll try.
Yeah, we'll give it a shot. All right, our next story. In Russia, officials at a Russian prison said guards discovered a cat climbing a fence into the facility, but it had something unique attached to its body. It had cell phones and chargers.
Ah.
The Republic of Komi Penitentiary Service Department said that the cat was caught climbing a fence at Penal Colony Number 1 with two packages that were taped to the cat's back. When the packages were unwrapped, guards found objects that were prohibited, including two cell phones with batteries and charges.
You think somebody's trying to break them out, getting them
maybe,
cell phones?
Maybe. The department said, however, that this is not the first time cats have been used to smuggle things into the prison. On one unique occasion, they have reported that a cat was used to smuggle drugs into the prison. So, that's pretty weird.
Yeah. Using cats to smuggle illegal objects.
My cat's name is Mittens.
Mittens is a drug mule.
Yeah. Anybody see Mittens? We need that. We need that package immediately.
My cat's name is Mittens.
Ralph, get on that.
That's pretty impressive that they could train a cat to climb up a fence.
Yeah, with cell phone
packages.
With cell phones
and stuff.
And apparently the one situation they reported drugs.
Wow.
So...
Man, those crafty Russians.
Yeah.
These are getting more inventive all the time.
Wait a minute. And isn't Russia full of landmines? Shouldn't they be worried about landmines?
I don't know. Is Russia full of landmines?
I thought Eastern Europe was, no?
Maybe. I don't know. Probably. They've had so many wars there. It has to be filled with landmines.
Poor cat just walking all along by, doesn't know where he's walking to. Poor cat. All right.
Anyway, every story's going to have landmines now.
Apparently.
Ready for the next story?
Yes.
This is a case of Home Alone come to life.
Uh-oh.
Two would-be robbers met their match on Monday evening when they encountered a very determined 9-year-old. It all began around 6 p.m. when the suspect entered the boy's Brooklyn home and told two teenagers downstairs to get down on the floor. When one of the suspects tried to enter his bedroom on the second floor, the kid fought back. He was able to slam the man's hand with the door so hard, the man dropped his gun.
Wow, that's pretty brave.
The 9-year-old was able to grab the gun and fired shots after them.
Oh, man.
Yeah, this kid's not scared.
This kid's a cold-blooded killer.
He didn't hit the criminals, but it did scare them, and they ran away.
See? Violent video games are good for something. You know, he should have just put landmines around the house.
That would have been more effective. This 9-year-old is safe and sound, and the police are looking for the two suspects that entered into the home. So wow, yeah, the nine-year-old
almost shot that home invader.
Yeah, this kid broke into
around.
My home. I'm not fooling around with you guys. Yeah, he grabbed the gun and fired shots at him.
Listen here, those are my cookies and milk. Damn it, stay away from them.
Oh, excuse me, but your wife's cookies are out of this world.
What? Who told you can eat my cookies?
Oh, these cookies!
Put that cookie down now!
Wow. There you go. If it was Arnold, he wouldn't mess around with somebody invading the cookies. Put the cookie down! No!
Put that cookie down now!
He's protective of his cookies.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just keep thinking of like an action movie remake version of Home Alone where he does use landmines and stuff.
Oh my God.
Like an edgy R-rated remake.
Kevin McAllister is back.
Bitches.
Bitch.
All right, you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
In Cleveland, 8 people were arrested when there was a brawl at a kindergarten graduation ceremony.
Another fighting story.
Yeah, and this time not for a birthday. This was for a kindergarten graduation party.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Okay, what was this fight about?
A brawl that started over spilled punch at a
No way. Come on, really?
Yep.
A whole entire brawl because of spilled punch.
Yep, spilled punch at a kindergarten graduation ceremony. it started out that kind of punch. It didn't start out as that kind of punch, but it ended in
they
that kind of
punch. They
started
throwing punches because of the punch.
Yep.
They punched the punch with punch. Are you done?
I was trying to match however many punches you said
there. Oh, okay. So, how does it say how many people were involved? Is it like the last one, which was just this massive fight?
Authorities said 8 people were arrested.
Oh, that's hardly a brawl.
And, oh my gosh, are you ready for this?
Okay.
Police had to be called on the scene and started calming down people when one participant pulled out a pipe.
What? Wait, what? what type of pipe?
A pipe.
Like a lead pipe?
Yep.
Why do you keep a lead pipe with you?
And another person pulled out a hammer.
What are they doing? Are they getting ready to build something? They're building the steel cage that they're about to fight in.
Put me in a cage with that S-O-B. Please put me in a cage. A cage. A cage.
I can just imagine the guy, though, before they're getting ready to leave. They're like, Barbara, honey, did you put my steel pipe in your purse?
I might need that tonight.
I might need that tonight at the kindergarten graduation. You never know whose brains I might need to bash out. Why?
Let's get ready to rumble!
Now, I've had stuff spilled, and nobody has come to... fighting, I mean, you know, pipes and hammers, you know, that's just taking it to a whole new level. When the punch spilled, did somebody, like, throw it at somebody, or was it, like, an innocent, like, oh, I knocked over a cup?
Two teenage girls apparently started hitting each other.
Ugh, those teenagers.
After one of them spilled punch on the other, and then their families joined in.
Really? What an example are they setting for those kindergartners?
The fight involved adults and minors.
Wow.
Luckily, no one was hurt in the incident. It isn't clear whether the hammer and the pipe were brought to the school or were grabbed during the fight.
So wait, it's weird enough if they brought it. It's even stranger if a lead pipe and a hammer were just lying around at a kindergarten graduation.
The detective on the case, Jennifer... There's a detective on this case? Really?
Well, it seems that the pipe was over here.
I have to... I was just going down on a regular Friday night.
A dame came into my office. She said she needed help with something. I'd promised to get out of the game, but I couldn't refuse this beautiful blonde standing in the doorway. So, got my hat and my rain coat, headed down to the gymnasium. There was a kindergarten graduation. I remembered my days in kindergarten. Playing with some...
I remember my days with Mike Costanzo in our kindergarten days. One of us would bring a pipe, the other would bring a hammer. We'd repeatedly smack each other on the head.
Get back in character.
But it was all just for the sake of having fun with each other. We didn't have anything better to do.
But everything changed when...
That one night.
When that bitch Amy spilled that punch all over the place.
Right in that Cleveland kindergarten school.
we knew something was going to go down.
We had no idea the scope, as 8 people were arrested on that fateful night. No one was hurt.
Are we investigating this, or are we part of the brawl?
I don't know, Mike. Because that night was so chaotic.
We can't even remember.
My memory's so foggy. Foggy. I can't even speak English.
I'm done. I can't do it.
Faint hockey? What did you say?
I said hoggy. I mixed hazy and foggy together, and I said hoggy.
Hoggy Dickles. So you mix your words together,
yes,
too,
I did.
Huh?
There we go. Yeah, we did. You bring the pipe, and I'll bring the hammer. There we go. The detective, Jennifer Siaka, says that no one was hurt. And she believes that somebody went into the janitor's supply during the initial breakout of the fight and pulled a pipe and a hammer. No charges were immediately filed, but those arrested were booked for aggravated rioting.
Aggravated rioting? Wow.
It was a crazy night. I'll never forget it.
Aggravating rioting was the charge.
I hadn't seen a fight like that since
the birthday,
preschool.
The birthday bash of May 2013.
And there were strippers at that event, too.
Strippers and Chuck E. Cheese. The smoke hung in the air like hockey curtains.
Okay, hockey curtains?
Well, you're the one that came up with the word. It's hazy and foggy.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, anyway, so...
Anyway, so... They were arrested, right?
Yeah, but they weren't booked on anything. The charges were dropped immediately.
Ah.
Officers quickly restored order, and no one got hurt.
Only in Ohio.
It's so bad they needed a detective on the case, really?
Well, when you bust out the pipes and the hammers, let's chart the trajectory of the hammer. Oh, God.
My career at the time wasn't going anywhere. I was just drinking in my office. Then I got a call in the police scanner. Said something about a kindergarten bash gone wrong. I don't know. I thought it was a stripper event. So I went. It turns out it was actually about kindergartners. My life is full of misery.
I was disappointed.
And sadness here in the hells of Ohio.
I was disappointing. I was fully expecting there to be strippers. I don't know why I associated strippers with kindergarten. That's just the way our minds work here in Cleveland, Ohio.
I thought it was a teacher gone wrong. But it turns out it was actually kindergarten kids, and that's not really what I do. So I sat back and I had another drink. And let them bust out the pipe and the hammer. I don't really care. Let them fight. I don't care.
We should do more stories in film noir style. Just for the heck of it.
Yeah, just whip out the film noir music, and we got it. And we got one more story.
One more, all right.
Yeah, trying to steal $35 in a rack of pork ribs is going to cost a Texas man 50 years in prison.
Wait, what?
The stiff sentence handed down Wednesday dates back to a September 2011 incident in which a guy named Willie Smith Ward attempted to steal a package of meat from the HEB grocery store in Waco, Texas. An employee approached Ward and asked what he had been hiding underneath his clothing. Ward said, "I got a knife," and then the ribs fell out underneath his shirt. Ward's lengthy rap sheet affected the decision of the jurors, who only required 2 minutes to convict Ward.
Wow.
And roughly an hour to determine the 50-year sentence.
Wait, 2 minutes to decide he was guilty and then an hour to decide 50 years?
Yep. This man was also arrested for burglary, attempted robbery, and cocaine possession in the past. So,
how's this guy not already in jail?
Yeah, so apparently this made sure that he went back to jail.
So this is more of karmic justice rather than actual justice.
But the straw that broke the camel's back is stealing $35 in pork ribs underneath his shirt.
And where was this? Texas?
Waco, Texas.
Hey, man, they're serious about their barbecue.
Yeah, don't you mess with my barbecue. By the way, the guy's name is Willie Smith. Willie Smith Ward.
Whoa.
No relation to Will Smith, hopefully.
Your boy Captain America over here. the best of the best of the best, sir. You know, with honors. You know, he's just really excited, and he has no clue why we're here.
So,
with honors.
There you go.
He's going
50 years in prison.
He's going to jail. He's going to jail without honor.
No.
That's going to be bad. Can you imagine him hanging out with the other inmates? What are you in for? 3 counts of murder. What are you in for? Yes, I also murdered something. It was pork ribs. Oh, no. Are the detectives Rich and Mike back on the case?
Yep. I was back on the trail after hearing that someone stole my barbecue.
It was a muggy day in Texas.
It pulled my interest into the case. When someone steals my barbecue, I don't like that.
We're serious about our barbecue here in the Deep South.
Swift justice must be made.
The iron fist of the law.
When they finally apprehended the guy, I had infiltrated the courtroom, and I told them how depressed I was.
We infiltrated the courtroom?
Yes.
Why did we do that again?
Because they had stolen my barbecue, and nobody, and I mean nobody, gets away with stealing my barbecue.
Oddly enough, we weren't actually on the case. We were just vigilantes at this point.
You were.
On a personal vendetta.
You were. I was on a personal vendetta. No one steals my goddamn barbecue, gets away with it.
Right. Personal vendetta for pork ribs.
When that man was in jail for 50 years... I finally laid back in my chair and enjoyed a nice brief beef brisket barbecue sandwich. So delicious.
Very nice ending.
There you go. And that's what I have in the non-fortune cookie odd news.
Landmines. Cats.
Yeah, let's not forget landmines.
And film noir. And we didn't talk about any of those things. Well, the cats we did briefly.
You also forgot cookies.
Howard, excuse me, but your wife's cookies are out of this world.
What a... Who told you can eat my cookies?
Oh, these cookies!
Put that cookie down now!
That's right. The Crispy Noodle Podcast. There's something wrong with us.
Yeah. Well, this is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Well, I think when we start going into detective mode, I think we need to end the show.
Yeah. I gotta tell you, man, I'm getting a headache from laughing so hard, though. Hope everyone else has enjoyed it as much as we have.
Yeah, I've had fun.
Oh, same here. Those news stories really put it over the top. You know what that music means.
Yep, it's time to end the show. Celebrate.
Another awesome show, the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yep. If you're interested in the Crispy Noodle, make sure you check out the website, thecrispynoodle.com. And find us on social media. We're on Facebook. Search The Crispy Noodle and you should get our page. Also, make sure you follow the official Twitter link at The Crispy Noodle.
And if you want to follow us individually, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig.
And make sure you subscribe to the podcast for free on iTunes. That's right.
It's free!
It's free. Get the download every week of the latest episode. Make sure you subscribe. Just search The Crispy Noodle and we should pop up.
That's right.
And subscribe to YouTube where we have a variety of highlight reels.
Yeah.
Of some of our best moments.
And other mishaps during the show.
Mishaps. That's an excellent way to put it.
What a show, Mike.
Another great show. It's just hit after hit, man.
All right, I think that's going to do it for us.
All right.
I'm Rich Liebig.
And I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we are the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Howard, excuse me, but your wife's cookies are out of this world.
What a... Who told you can eat my cookies?
Oh, these cookies!
Put that cookie down, now!
I love this goat right now.